Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong,
the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear. My anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you. When the sea of life is calm, I need you.
When
the wind is blowing strong,
where the trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you.
Sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song.
Although I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward, so I depend on you, depend on you.
Brother Buchanan has been a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
He's always a blessing when Brother Bob, could you turn this on, please, or up? I'm disappointed you weren't looking at me through the binoculars. You didn't need them to see Brother Gerald either, did you? Thank God for faithful men and faithful preachers. It's been a delight to have Brother and Mrs. Buchanan here visiting with us and preaching for us this week. I love him, I admire him, I thank God for him and for what he's doing there in southern Louisiana. You listen to this man. When he comes, he'll come with a simple message, a Bible message, a Spirit-filled message, a message that you can take home and chew on for a while. Amen. Brother Buchanan, we love you. Thank you, sir, for being faithful. God bless you.
Thank you, man. Amen. Well, it's good what we heard a while ago, wasn't it, folks? Well, we need to be reminded of those things often. And like I said today, you know, I've never known anything but a King James Bible, and I've never known anything but a fundamental independent Baptist church, and that's all I want to know. Amen. I'm trying to get rid of this cough drop in my mouth. I helped a missionary raise $300,000 several years ago to buy a STOL airplane. That means short takeoff and landing, because where he was, he needed it, and traveled around the country and preached in conferences and preached with another fellow. And if I called his name, you'd know him. And he said he got up to preach one time and he had a Tic Tac in his mouth. And he said he didn't quite get rid of it. And while he was preaching, there was a little boy on the front row. And he went to sleep. And that thing, half of it come out and stuck on that kid's cheek. He said right before he got through preaching, that little boy woke up, felt, and said, boom. And he said, I hope you get as much out of the message tonight as he got out of my Tic Tac. Amen. And so we got a lot out of the message a while ago, didn't we? Amen. Let me remind you of something, and some of you folks, young folks in this room, this is going to be strange to your ears and to the old folks. You'll remember this. Let me give you a scenario, okay? Mark gets a headache, takes some headache medicine, he goes to school. In 1957, Mark would share that headache medicine with the principal. In 2007, the police are called. Mark expelled from school for drug violations, car searched for drugs and weapons. Scenario, 1957, Pedro fails high school English. Pedro goes to summer school, passes English, goes to college. 2007, Pedro's cause is taken up by the state Democratic Party. Newspaper articles appear nationally explaining that teaching English as a requirement for graduation is racist. ACLU files class action suit against the state school system and Pedro's English teacher. English is banned from core curriculum. Pedro is given a diploma, but he can't read, and he ends up moving and somewhere else, and nobody can find him anymore. Amen. Scenario, Johnny takes apart leftover firecracker from the 4th of July, puts him in a model airplane, paints the bottle, blows up a red ant bed. 1957, the ants die. 2007, the BATF is called. Homeland Security is called. FBI is called. Johnny's charged with domestic terrorism. FBI investigates his parents. His siblings are removed from his home. Computers are confiscated. Johnny's dad goes on a terror watch list and is never allowed to fly again. Now, see, back in my day, that's the way it was, folks. And nowadays, everything's nuts, isn't it? I was telling my brother-in-law today, I talked to Brother Smith, and he kindly allowed me to do this. My sister lives over in Weatherford, and she is my older sister. I don't get to see her very often. And I asked him if we could go for lunch and spend time with her, my brother-in-law. And he said, sure, I appreciate that, and I appreciate him allowing us to do that. Because I want his permission. I'm here under his authority. We heard about the local church a while ago. Brother Smith is the local authority here. He's in this church. Way back years ago, there was a fellow named Black Jack Pershing. Anybody ever hear that name? And he caught, I think, 10 or 11 terrorists, lined them up, and took a bullet, the bullets, and dipped them in pig's blood. Now, they hate pigs and pig's blood. And I believe this is what happened. He shot all but one of them and turned him loose, and there was no more problems for a while. Now, I sent that to one of our local newspapers and asked and said, if you got guts, print this. They didn't print it. Folks, everything is out of whack today. I mean, it's just whatever whack is. I don't know what whack is. I love Brother Smith. Thank God for him. He has had a great influence on my life, which infected my family. And then and right on down, everyone that's been saved under my ministry, called to preach under my ministry. We're going to celebrate my 30th anniversary here in a couple of weeks. In June, we're going to do it just June 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, just three nights. And my 25th, we had a little bit bigger thing, but we're not going to do it this time. And Russ Smith's going to come preach. And every preacher that preaches, Brother Keith Gomez, Brother Smith has had an impact on his life. Cecil Ballard will preach. Cecil Ballard was a teenager when I got to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He started leading singing for me when he was 18. Dr. Hiles came to preach, and he's sitting on the platform. He said, "Where'd you get that boy?" He said, "Man, I don't know of another guy who can get people to sing like that. One other could, Brian Branson could." And I said, "Well, you're going to get him in a few years," and he did. And then Danny Bassett will come preaching. Brother Smith had a great influence on him. Brother Bassett was in sort of a church and came over to Central Baptist Church and got fired up, became our bus director. And then Mike Ray will come. We don't know who influenced him. No. Mike Ray's daddy was in the Dixie Mafia. And they put him in prison and was going to put a hitman there to kill him, and he got saved. And Mike Ray's one of his sons, and Mike Ray is doing a great job in an area in California where I don't know how they make a living. I don't know why every kid in the family doesn't work. I mean, the everything out there is so high and the pay scale is so low. Brother Smith had a direct impact on his life. And so let me tell you something. Listen to me now, Trinity Baptist Church, and take this right. Heroes most time are distant, and that's not real good. You have a hero for a pastor here. Now, he already gave me my love offering, so this ain't getting me one lick more absurd. And you need what's going on here at this church. Now, I know sometimes you say, "I get tired hearing about the college." Well, listen, if you're not going to reproduce some reproducers, I've got a sermon on that, who's going to do it? And your preacher has a burden, as it says in Joshua, for somebody to overlive him. I was going to preach on that, and he said he already preached on it, and he said, "Y'all have probably forgotten it, but I was never to get to liberty." That literally means that they lived Joshua's life continuously, that next group. And that's what your pastor's trying to do. And then I remember when I grew up in Fort Worth, and I was born in Oklahoma, right across the river here. I didn't swim over the river. My dad brought me across. And I grew up in Fort Worth, and back then there was an independent fundamental Baptist church on every corner. And they were all just alike. I wish I'd have thought today. I have a family. My church is going to have to move. And they're going to move to an area of Texas, not this area. I know where I'd recommend them come. And they said, "Preacher, recommend us a fundamental, separated Baptist church in that city." That's exactly my reaction. Now, there's some fundamental Baptist churches in that area, but they're not like they used to be. When I was a kid in Fort Worth, I didn't go to church, didn't get saved, and I have no church background until I was 2 weeks before I was 21 years old. Now, your preacher has a burden for this area. This is your Jerusalem, folks, and then around the world. And you ought to thank God for that. I mean that with all my heart. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Isaiah, please, chapter 14. I want to thank the pastor, Brother Smith, and the church for the wonderful room. I mean, it's really wonderful. It's so good. If you don't travel, you don't know what I'm talking about. Now, it's good to have a good, comfortable room. I mean that. And we try to do the same thing. We try to put our speakers, missionaries, whoever, in the best place in town. And you'll reap that as a church. Amen. If you'll look through the Bible, when people were good to the men of God, God was good to those people. And I want to thank you for that and for everything. And allowing my wife to come. I like for her to go with me. Years ago, I used to travel a little bit more. And she had to stay home with the kids. And then they got to be teenagers, and she wanted to go with me. And I said, you don't leave teenagers alone. And now that they're gone, she says, I don't want to go. But I'm glad to have her with me. She's my greatest encouragement. I'm not kidding you. She's, outside of being saved, she's the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I mean that. I was preaching the other day up in Ohio with Jack Freeber, and he watched her while I was preaching. Now, if she'd have sat there and looked around and counted the lights and had said, you know, how would that have affected him? He said, Miss Buchanan, I watched you while he was preaching. And what she liked, she did this. What she didn't like, no, she don't do that. No. Once again, in honor of the wonderful Word of God, would you stand, please? Thank you, Brother Gerald. I love Matt Gerald. He has been, I don't know how to tell him what an encouragement he's been to my son. And my son needs somebody encouraging besides me. And I appreciate Brother Gerald loving my son. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now, if you've never done this, you need to mark all the I's. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, before I pray, I want to thank Trinity Baptist Church for coming. This building would not be any good without you folks here. Amen. You are this ministry. And let me tell you something. Your preacher loves you. Isn't it amazing how used to parents would scold their children? Not because they hated them, but because they loved them. No one loves like someone who warns. And no one warns like someone who loves. Now, you may think sometimes your preacher is just reading your mail. That's because he loves you. And he wants your family to be a whole, complete, functioning, godly family. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. If I knew any other words or language, Lord, that I could learn that would express thank you, I would master that language. And I mean it when I say thank you for saving me. I mean that. It's wonderful to be saved. The longer I'm saved, the more precious it becomes. Lord, there's so many things, and this is not my time to thank you for a lot of things. It's not my time to do that, but I want to thank you specifically for this good church. And I know there's laymen here that got up early this morning, and they had to drive maybe in awful traffic to get to work, and they rushed here straight from work. And there's mamas in this room that got up and had to get children ready for school and maybe rushed home this afternoon and maybe didn't even have an evening meal to get to church. And if these folks were not here, we could not have church. And I want to thank you for the pastor, Brother Smith, and Lord, and laying it on his heart for me and my wife to come. And I hope, Lord, and I mean it, that what I've had to say has been a blessing and a help. And thank you for the preachers, yea, in this room, and the ones that were here today. God, we need preachers. We need old-fashioned preachers. Boy, if folks would just read the Old Testament and see how the people listened to the prophets of God. And when they didn't listen, how the country went downhill. Now, Lord, tonight I'm not going to attack Satan. I'm not that stupid. I am no match for him, but you are. But I want to say some things tonight. I trust and pray that will be a blessing. Thank you for the good word we heard just a while ago from the heart that it was delivered in. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You don't hear as much now, and occasionally you do, you hear this word insurgent when it comes to our military men in Iraq. I want to speak to you tonight on spiritual insurgents. In Iraq, I know you know this. And by the way, if you travel any or wherever you go, you see a young man or young lady that's come from that place, you ought to thank them. You ought to shake their hand. We just had a young man who from a family who recently joined our church come back from Iraq, and he was in our service on Sunday. I had him stand and thanked him publicly, and we gave him a hand clap. And our soldiers face a cowardly, subtle enemy, and they're called insurgents. We have another young man that's going back over there in October, and he came from a busted home. And he said, "Preacher, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "They won't face us face to face because we can whip them." He said, "They're a bunch of cowards." And these people work mainly with hidden bombs. You know that. And they put them in a car or they put them in a truck or they strap them to their bodies. And you don't know who they are. And without knowing, and when one of these insurgents come along and they blow up themselves or blow up their car, and you don't know when they're going to strike. You don't know time or hour, but they come and everyone's a target. They're so sorry they're killing their own people. Amen. And they're killing men and women and children and their own race and our military. The word insurgent means to rise up. It means to surge. It means against established authority. You see, they do not want an authority over them. These insurgents in Iraq, they kill and they maim and they cripple and they disturb and they destroy and they demolish. And these insurgents do not want an established authority over them. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. They don't want the kind of government we'd like for them to have. Now you listen to me. Spiritually, this way of life invaded America back in the 60s. Back in the 60s. This way of life invaded our country. And I want to say this, and it's a rabbit I'm fixing to shoot, but that's when we got hungry as Fundamental Baptists. And that's when so-called born-again Jimmy Carter became a president, and we knew that was a farce. Amen. You say, "I don't think you ought to say that publicly." That's when the so-called Jimmy Carter became president, which was a farce. Used to have a little dried-up fellow come to our church, and he wasn't a member, and he'd say, "You can't say that in the pulpit." And I'd just say it again, and I'm glad he's gone. I think he's shoveling coal with the Pope. I don't know where he is. Anyway. And we got hungry. Come on, folks. And we learned to pray again. And the Christian school movement started about that time. And we started Christian schools not necessarily just to get our kids out of the public system, which is awful and corrupt, but to teach them Christian values and a way of life like we used to know. That's over, just about. Yeah, it's over. In Baton Rouge, Louisiana, they have so-called Christian schools as money-making schools. That's all they are. Now, listen to me. This particular lifestyle came into America and came in through what we call rock music. Any kind of music that's associated with that is against established authority. And I'm going to tell you something. There's more kids in this room that listen to it than what you think. Hey, you think the devil, he's no dummy. He can mess with me, and he does. And he's going to mess with you, but he wants the kids in this room. He wants the young people in this room. He wants them now in their youth and their strength. And if he can poison and corrupt them, look what he's got. And that's what happened to a society, folks. That's what happened to a group of people. And then it set up this thing of permission, this do whatever you want to. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Amen. Now, so now we have a wholesome way of life in America almost completely destroyed. I went to high school right over here at Diamond Hill. Diamond Hill High School, lost, unsaved, on my way to hell. Brother Gerald, every morning, Monday through Friday, every morning, when the bell rang, we had to be in our place in homeroom. Every boy had to have his shirt tucked in. Not one girl could wear pants to a public high school. Now, I don't want to make this till 10 o'clock tonight, so folks help me. Some of you remember that. Well, why are you letting your kids do different? Huh? It bothers me when a little 50-year-old kid can whoop a 200-pound man. That bothers me. And after we got settled in homeroom, You listen to me, the principal would come home and he'd say, good morning, students. Now we're going to have the Bible reading every morning. And they read from a King James Bible. Now, I read from it. I wasn't saved. I didn't know what I was doing. But I read from it. You see, but at least we had that influence. We don't have that anymore. But you can teach all this religion on public schools. You can talk about everything. Do you know when they had that memorial the other day for those 30-something kids that were killed up there in Virginia, Jesus Christ was not mentioned one time, but Allah was and the Quran was and all that stuff and Buddha was and all that. Jesus was not mentioned one time. And I got real upset. You see, I tell our church, we couldn't afford to be on TV because, buddy, I would have come on the next week and I'd have said, how about all the abortions? We've killed more kids in abortion in one day than they got killed up there. And those over 4 million have been killed. Why don't we protest that? Why don't we protest liquor sales? Because liquor is killing more people right now than that boy killed up there. Now, come on, folks. The insurgents have come in. And we're going to have to stand up against them, like Brother Gerald said. And, buddy, we're going to have to battle, and we're going to have to battle with the Word of God, and we're going to have to battle with what we know is right. And we have the power to do that. We can stand against them. Amen. This insurgency has maimed our homes. I want you to think with me for a minute, and I'm not being unkind. You name me five homes, five, in your mind, where Daddy loves the Lord, he goes soul winning, he's faithful to church, he tithes, he gives the missions, and best he can, he's never church service. Name me five homes in your mind where the daddy does that. Name me three. How come it's so quiet? Used to, dad was the leader in the home. Now, listen to me. You see, these insurgents have maimed our home. We let our kids run around with headphones on. We don't know what they're listening to. I tell you what they're listening to. And sad, some of them got TVs in their rooms. And sad, boy, it got quiet right there, didn't it? And sad, most of you ain't got the guts, excuse me, Greek and fortitude, to tell your kids they can't hang around with certain kids. I went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana 30 years ago, and after about 2 weeks on Wednesday night, I said, here's what I can expect of you, and here's what you can expect of me. I said, number one, my wife is not the assistant pastor. And I said, number two, my kids are my kids. They ain't your kids. And they aren't either. And I said, I ain't going to let my kids hang around with some of your kids. Amen. And I meant that. And I said, they're not going to ever spend Saturday night with them. Is this on? I don't think this is on. Their last name is Buchanan. It's not Slop Lolly. One time my boy was over to a house on Saturday afternoon or Friday or something, and he called me. I told him, I said, if you're ever in somebody's house and you don't like what's going on, you come. He said, Dad, come get me. This man and woman about to kill each other. What an example for my son. That's normal today. You just had two police officers killed in this area because of domestic violence. That's sad. So these insurgents have come into our homes. Amen. And let me tell you something, folks. They're in our churches. And they're affecting our people. You hear me? There's no peace to him that goes out and no peace to him that comes in. You see, the thought pattern is rising up against authority and it's just about done a sin. You know what we need to do? And it took too long to do it, but we need to do what they did to Saddam Hussein after they finally found him guilty. Hang him. Publicly hang him. You say, I don't believe in that. Fear is a great deterrent. And I think we ought to have electric bleachers instead of electric chair. Amen. Yeah. And I hope you don't think bad of me, but I don't give a rip if you do. I'm glad that boy in Virginia killed himself the other day. He saved me a lot of tax money. Amen. I grew up over here in Fort Worth Diamond Hill area, and let me tell you something. When the police said something to you, you listened. We two or three of us was at Dairy Queen one night. And a black and white pulled up. And I'll never forget the guy's last name. His last name was Wilkes. He said, come here, boys. We want to talk to you a minute. And we didn't say, pig, hat, slop. No, we didn't do that. We didn't. He pulled out his nightstick. That thing was tall as a telephone pole. Back then, I had hair. Parted on both sides, combed it straight back. Had on motorcycle boots, a black jacket, He said, you see this nightstick? We said, yes, sir. He said, if I get close enough to use this nightstick, and he pulled out that pistol, he said, I'm going to stick that in your gut and shoot your belly off. We said, yes, sir. We believed it. Wasn't no ACLU. Wasn't no my daddy calling a lawyer. My daddy told me, he said, son, if you ever go to jail, don't call me. I went down there about 3 or 4 times to pass out tracts before I got saved, and I didn't call him. If you believe that, I can sell this pulpit to you for $1 million. They picked me and a couple of my buddies up one night for, I don't know what we was doing, probably praying, you know. And they took us down here in Fort Worth City, down to jail in Fort Worth. And first of all, Brother Smith, they put us in the drunk tank. And the floor slick in there from vomit. And we walked in there and we're sliding around. There's puke all over the floor. And them old drunks saying, how you doing, boys? What are you doing here? And stink. Boy, it stunk. They left us in there for a while. I didn't call my daddy. If I had of, he'd have said, who in the blank is this? Clunk. Nowadays, we correct a kid in a Christian school. My little Johnny wouldn't do nothing like that. Come on, folks. You've just whacked authority in front of that kid. Amen. Come on. Now, fella, let me tell you something, fella. You say amen tonight, and I'll talk to your wife for you after walk, because I ain't afraid of her. If she's pinching your leg, you just let her pinch it. You tell her, that's your son. You're going to grow him up to be a boy. He ain't going to be a sissy. And wear hot pink women shorts. They took us out of there and set us down. And they said, would y'all like to call home? I said, uh-uh. And I talked my way out of there. Those other two guys called home. Now listen to me, folks. They were the authority. My assistant principal, I was in his office one day praying with him. And we was talking about fasting. And he said, Miss Buchanan, out of the 6 meanest boys in this school, he's talking to mom, yours is one of them. She said, whip him. The coach in our high school had a paddle he called Old Buddy. It was this tall right here. He had to use both hands on it. And it had little holes drilled in it. Now, I'm talking strange language to some of you folks. But it ain't strange to the Bible. But then surgeons have come in and taken over. We can't whip our little kids. You can whip them right. You're not supposed to beat them. You can whip them right. And it'll work. And one day in the shower, a bunch of boys were cutting up, and they looked up, and there stood Coach kneeling on Old Buddy. They said, Coach, could we just fold up a towel? He said, no, you're fixing to meet Old Buddy on the seat of education. And he whacked them buck naked. You try that today. Huh? Come on, folks, this is Greek to some of you, isn't it? The insurgents is just about taking us over. See, Satan's smart. He's not a dummy. And listen to me. You know why your kids have a problem at school? Because you've got a problem with authority. Now, you listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight, folks. Listen to me. This thought of no one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me how to live. No one's going to tell me how to dress. You're lying. I go to the doctor every 6 months on purpose. I mean, I may be tall and ugly, but I ain't stupid. And this stuff of me Tarzan, that don't bother me no more. That junk don't bother me no more. You know, the other day I had my coat on Baton Rouge. Somebody said, what are you doing with that coat on? I said, it's cold. They said, what kind of man are you? I said, I'm a coal man. You know, and this stuff getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning going fishing, I ain't going to do that anymore. They bite just as good at 11 o'clock as they do at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I used to do that just out of peer pressure. You know, preacher, let's go out here and jump a bunch of gorillas and whip them. I ain't going to do that anymore. I grew up, I'm smart. That, you know, anyway. But when that doctor says something to me, he's my authority. You know why? He cares for me. He called me on the phone. He says, here's what I found in your blood. He said, now here's where I want you to go to a specialist. You know what I did? I called the specialist. Now, you know how some of you are? Well, that preacher, he's just meddling in my business. He's just a smart aleck. He thinks he knows what, yes, he knows what he's talking about. He loves you. He prays for you. You're his people. You're his sheep. And you listen to me. When he says something, you need to tell your family that's the man of God. You say, well, he's not always right. Well, la-di-da. But let me tell you something. You better thank God you got somebody over you that's called a man of God that loves you and wants to keep the devil out of your house and wants to keep the devil out of your kids and wants to keep the devil. Hey, listen to me. When my mama used to say, I want to meet the devil, I love you, she knew what she's talking about. John 10:10 says he's come to kill and to steal and to destroy. You know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11? We're not ignorant of his devices. You have right here in this book. If you'll listen to your preacher and you'll read this book, you got everything you need to combat the devil. Hey, Ephesians chapter 6 gives us the, I started to preach on it, the whole armor to put on. Amen? Now listen to me. Satan didn't want God to have authority over him. He didn't want God to have authority on him. And you listen to me, if you don't let God be your authority, then who's going to be your authority? Huh? You read the I wills there in Isaiah chapter 14. He did not want to have God have authority. The average Christian today says, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. I have a sweet family comes to my church right now. And I'm telling you, the first time they came, that woman, I got through preaching, and she ran down the aisle. Woo! And she said, this is my church. You're going to be my preacher. I said, okay. And we went through the thing about her being saved, and she said she had a lot of money, so we just said, that's okay. You just don't need to be saved. No. I said, where's your husband? She said, I ain't worried about him. I said, go back there and get him. She went back there and got him down there. They got two little old boys. They used to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now they come only on Sunday morning. And here a while back, I told their adult teacher, I said, now they're going to quit coming. You see, folks, God tells his men some things that he don't reveal to anybody else. How did Peter know that Ananias and Sapphira had lied to the Holy Ghost? God told him. And sure enough, they quit coming. And the guy teaches them, said, preacher, I went out to see them. And they said, their boys don't have any friends at Central Baptist Church. You know why? Those boys are changing. Those boys don't like the authority anymore. Those boys go to a public institution where there is no authority. Amen? And you watch, folks. Let me tell you something. In a few years, they're going to call me on the phone and say, dear preacher, then what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Hey, they hadn't heard the preaching like they are to. They hadn't applied it like they are to. They hadn't put their kids in a good school like they are to, where there's some, at least some semblance and hard work of authority. And they hadn't listened to the preaching. They don't come on Sunday night. They don't come on Wednesday night. And when the heartaches come and the heartaches come, what are you going to do? You need to set up and say, hey, kids, we're going to listen to the man of God. We're going to be in church. We're going to stay what's right. We're going to go to everything. And you folks here tonight know what I'm talking about. And you need to do your best to keep Satan out from destroying and killing you. Boy, he wants your money. I'll tell you what. Show me one place in this Bible where you're supposed to pray about what you give. Excuse me, it ain't in there. It just says, give. Hey, isn't it amazing? Where'd you get that new car? Well, we decided we'd go buy it. Well, how about mission conferences coming up? Well, we'll have to pray about that. Overlivers conferences coming up, high school and college. How come you have to pray about it? You don't have to pray about that. You just show up. Hey, now, preacher, you know, we just don't have time to do some of these things you want us to do. But you'll plan for a whole year to go from 2 weeks vacation. A vacation is 2 weeks when you're too tired to return to work but too broke not to. Amen. And let me tell you something. There's folks that in all of our churches all across the country could do something great for God and they're just sitting there. You know what? An insurgent's got you. Now there's three big ones and I'll be through. Number one, Satan. He's out to kill us, folks. And you hear me. Listen to me. I'm not this familiar with this area anymore. He's not down at the beer joints tonight. He's here. He's not at the gambling boats tonight if you have any. He's here. He's not at the house of prostitution. He's here. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from growing in the Lord. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from being spiritual. He's your number one enemy. And let me tell you, second big insurgent is yourself. Yourself. You know what? It's an amazing thing. The great preacher in here said, I die daily. And so the day he died, he said, I died. He said, I beat my body and bring it into subjection. Yourself is sorry. Brother Gerald's right. Boy, you're old self. And don't tell me how good you are. Job just said his maggot food's all he said it was. And let me tell you, yourself will work on you and yourself will rise up. And thank God for you folks being here tonight. Isn't it amazing how you get off work and you say, I'm tired. And boy, I'd like to go home, but I'm going to go into church. And after you come to church and do what's right and maybe give and sing, you go home and you're relaxed and refreshed. You know what? You've crucified the old flesh and you let God take over. Amen. Then let me tell you another one. It's a big one. It's your substance. Isn't it amazing how at one time you didn't have nothing? You know, I remember I used to stick the car keys, Brother Ogden, in my car, and they'd go, And it was a stick shift, and I'd have to park it on the hill and put a brick on the front tire. And before I went out there to start it, run, get the brick out, put it in neutral, and let it roll down here and slap it up and second start it. Now I got one electric starter on it. Gomez got one. He can start it from here to Chicago, sitting in the house. Amen. And it'll turn on the heater and everything. That's amazing for a Cajun. And you didn't have nothing. And God blessed you. And he began to bless you materially, and he will. But you know what's going to happen one day? All that stuff's going to burn with fervent heat. Don't let your substance destroy you. I've known folks, I'm not kidding you. I got a family in my church. They started from nothing. They're worth millions now. But the millions control them. Folks, spiritual insurgency is going to sneak in. And its big thing is, I'm going to blow you up. I'm going to destroy you. You can name tonight, and it's not good, folks who used to sit right here in this church and used to be excited and had families here and their kids here, and they're gone tonight. A spiritual insurgent got them and destroyed them and maimed them. And you can name other people. You can name other people who used to be on fire for God, and they started missing, and things started happening. Now they come back and they're broken and hurt and all that stuff. An insurgent got there. Please don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this good conference. Boy, we've heard enough preaching here to help us, to shore us up, to encourage us. Thank you for Brother Smith having a vision. And thank you for his people who have a vision with him. And thank you that he's got a heartbeat and he's given his energy and his life to see that there's some old-fashioned fundamental independent Baptists that come right along. And thank you for these other preachers tonight that have the same heartbeat. And thank you for the people in this room that are trying to rear godly boys and godly girls. And dear God, please help them. Help them to know that not in the energy of their flesh, they cannot beat Satan. But I know the Bible teaches us that we have a great Savior who's our big brother, and he'll stand against him. But help us to resist him, as James teaches us, to resist the devil, draw nigh to God, and not let some cowardly insurgent come in and destroy our lives, our homes, our children. God bless us tonight. Help us to stand like Chama did. Stand there and guard what you've given us. And as we heard tonight, fight for it. And not let some enemy come in and blow it all to smithereens. And we wind up somewhere in the junkyard, ruined and wrecked, and no good anymore. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to have the musicians play. You listen to me. If God spoke to your heart in the first message, you come. God spoke to your heart, you come. Come on. Bring your whole family. God might have spoke to your heart today sometime. Take a stand like Chama did. Stand for your family. Stand for what God's given you. Stand there. Stand against the insurgency. Brother Gerald knows more about those than I do, but in the military. Stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Take the whole armor of God. God's given us everything we need. Don't be destroyed by Satan, by self, by your suffering. Come on, listen to the Holy Ghost as he speaks to your heart. Come on.